standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Sarah Pettacord. Thank you. You may begin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for participating in today's call. My name is Sarah Pettacord, and I'm from the FDA's Office of Media Affairs. This is a media briefing regarding the FDA's announcement requiring a series of changes to codeine and tramadol prescription drug labeling in an effort to better protect children and nursing infants from the serious life-threatening risks associated with these products. By now, a statement is posted to our website, as well as a drug safety communication and an update for consumers. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Douglas Throckmorton, Deputy Center Director of Regulatory Programs in the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, as well as a number of subject matter experts from the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research as well. After Dr. Throckmorton's remarks, we will move to the question and answer portion of the call. Reporters will be in a listen-only mode until we open the call up for questions. When asking a question, please remember to state your name and affiliation, and please limit yourself to one question and one follow-up so that we can get to as many questions as possible. I'll also note that since we have several experts with us today, we might be helping to direct those questions to the most appropriate expert in the room. With that, I'll now turn it over to Dr. Throckmorton.
Thank you, Sarah, and good afternoon to those of you on the phone. I appreciate you making time. In the past, I've had the opportunity to speak with many of you about the actions the FDA is taking to combat the addiction, overdose, and death brought about by the opioid epidemic. As you know, this is a topic of extreme importance and concern to our agency. Today's announcement, although related to opioid medications, is not related to the abuse or misuse of those powerful drugs. Today, we are taking actions to ensure healthcare providers and parents are aware of serious risks of two specific types of opioids, codeine and tramadol, due to the unique way these drugs are broken down in the body in some children. Let me give you just a little bit of background. The FDA has been closely examining the safety of codeine in the treatment of pain and cough in children for the past several years. Codeine is an opioid that is found in both prescription pain and cough medicines, as well as some over-the-counter cough medicines. The FDA has become increasingly concerned that some children metabolize or break down codeine much faster than is usual. These children are called ultra-rapid metabolizers, causing dangerously high levels of opioids in their bodies to build up that can cause life-threatening respiratory depression and even death. This respiratory depression can also occur in nursing babies when mothers who are ultra-rapid metabolizers take the medicine and pass through high levels of the opioid to their children through the breast milk. Another type of opioid, tramadol, is metabolized in a similar way. While tramadol is only approved for the treatment of pain in adults, we've become aware that tramadol is sometimes prescribed for treating pain in children. Because we can't easily determine which children or nursing mothers specifically are at greater risk of ultra-rapid metabolism of codeine and tramadol, today we are requiring manufacturers of prescription codeine and tramadol products to make important labeling changes to protect those children who are at the greatest risk. These groups include children under 12, adolescents who are obese or have other conditions that may increase their risk of breathing problems, children under 18 who have undergone tonsillectomy and or adenoidectomy, and nursing infants. Let me give you some specifics. First, a new contraindication will be added to the labeling of codeine and tramadol, alerting healthcare professionals and parents that these products should not be used in children younger than 12 years of age. Codeine should not be used to treat pain or cough, and tramadol should not be used to treat pain. Second, a contraindication will be added to the tramadol label warning against its use in children in 18 to treat pain after surgery to remove tonsils or adenoids. The labels of codeine-containing products already carry this contraindication. Third, a new warning will be added to the labels of both codeine and tramadol products to recommend against their use in adolescents between 12 and 18 years who are obese or have conditions such as obstructive sleep apnea or lung disease, which may increase this risk of serious breathing problems. And finally, the warning on codeine and tramadol will be strengthened to inform mothers that breastfeeding is not recommended while they use codeine or tramadol due to the risk of serious adverse reactions in breastfed infants, such as excessive sleepiness, difficulty breastfeeding, or serious breathing problems, which could result in death. It's important to know this isn't the first time we've taken action or issued warnings related to the metabolism of codeine. We've already required the prescription codeine labeling contain a boxed warning regarding the risk of death related to this ultra-rapid metabolism of codeine to morphine. And codeine is already contraindicated for post-operative pain management in children up to 18 who have undergone tonsillectomy and/or adenoidectomy. Today's actions build on our better understanding of this very serious safety issue based on the very latest evidence. Given the importance of reaching healthcare professionals and the public with this information, we are also issuing a drug safety communication to inform those professionals and consumers about these labeling changes. We also intend to hold a public advisory committee later this year to discuss the broader role of prescription opioid cough and cold medicines in children, including those containing codeine. Because many cough and cold products are available over the counter, the FDA also encourages parents to review the ingredients of those medicines and consult their healthcare provider before giving their children any medicines containing codeine. We continue to assess the risks associated with over-the-counter codeine-containing medicines, and we'll determine whether additional actions need to be taken. Before I open the call to questions, I want to reinforce that we understand that there are limited options when it comes to treating pain and cough in children. However, after careful review, our decision to acquire these labeling updates was taken because we believe it is a way we can protect children who are vulnerable to the associated serious risks of this ultra-rapid metabolism of codeine and tramadol. In all situations, we recommend that parents and healthcare professionals consider the best options for treating pain or cough in children with the risks of codeine and tramadol in mind. Thank you for helping us get the word out about this important safety action, and I'd be happy to answer any questions I can.
Thank you, Dr. Throckmorton. Sheila, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer portion of the briefing. We'll go ahead and take the first question, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly. If you need to withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question is from Leanne Winnick with CBS News. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Could you shed some light on the over-the-counter versions? Would you be able to give us some brands or some types where we can look for this?
I'm going to look around, see if others here can give me some specific names of some over-the-counter products. If not, we can certainly get that information back to you. There are a variety of products that we're aware of. The major point is, again, we want prescribers and patients to, you know, help family members to talk to their before using those medicines.
And is there a risk, in particular, adolescents abusing these, as some products have gone, you know, other types of products have gone behind the counter? Is that something you're seeing, or is that not a problem?
So the focus of this action today is not on the abuse of opioids at all. It's related to a safety concern. Many of the opioids have a risk of abuse and addiction. We'd have to get back with you about specific risks in the adolescent population for codeine and tramadol. Those products have those risks, but I don't know the details specifically now.
Okay, it would be helpful to our viewers if you could get us those names so we can get a sense of the scope of the OTC side of it.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll follow up with you after the call. Operator, we'll take the next question, please.
Our next question is from Landa Johnson with Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hello, everybody. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what prompted this new warning. I believe you said really quickly something about new safety information. Do you have new data on children who've died, infants who've been harmed after their mothers breastfed and use these products? You know, what exactly is the reason for this extra concern?
So I'm going to start by just saying again, this is something we've been watching for several years. So we've been working on this issue, and as data come in, we've been reviewing it. At this time, we've received additional information, and we believe this was the right course to take at this time. The drug safety communication lays out the specific information, the numbers of deaths and other serious injuries that we've had reported to us, and I'd suggest maybe looking there, and we'd be happy to answer other questions if you have them after that.
All right, since you said that there are limited options for treating adolescents with pain and I believe you said cough, are there other ones that you could recommend to parents that are considered safer?
No, I don't want to get into recommending specific products right now. I think it's why I ended the way I did the last question. Talk with your healthcare professionals. Really talk to the doctor. Talk about the right, best medicines to use for the patient in the specific circumstances would be my recommendation.
Great. Thank you, Linda. And operator, we'll take the next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question is from Catherine St. Louis with the New York Times. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my question is, do we have any sense of what percentage of children are these kind of rapid metabolizers? And similarly, do we have any sense of how many adult women are rapid metabolizers? Like, is it super rare or not?
Catherine, I'm going to very good question. I'm going to ask Dr. Rakusin to help answer that. Those.
Hi, it's Judy Rakusin from the Division of Anesthesia, Analgesia, and Addiction Products.
Uh-huh.
So if you look at the external Q&A that was posted today along with the other materials, there's actually a table for selected components of the population. But the ultra-rapid metabolism is related to the cytochrome P450-2D6 enzyme in the liver that is responsible for metabolizing codeine and tramadol to their more potent active metabolites, so the active components that account for the activity at the opioid receptor. And that is enzyme, cytochrome P450-2D6, is what's called polymorphic. And I apologize for getting into the technical language here, but that it's hard to avoid. That polymorphic enzyme varies by ethnic and racial group. And so if referring to Table 1 in the external Q's and A's, I can read out the percentages that are listed there, but I'd also refer you to the table. But essentially, it varies by it's genetically determined, and it varies by racial and ethnic groups. So, again, I'd refer you to the table for the specific numbers.
Catherine, I think this does help make the point that I made in my comment earlier, which is it's very hard to determine exactly which child or nursing mother specifically has this greater risk, and that's why we've taken this broader action today.
So, thanks so much. So, I guess for my follow-up question, I would ask, do we have any sense of whether or not the prescriptions for these two drugs to kids is going down since your earlier actions? I mean, you've already done a box warning. Did that have an effect? Do we know?
Catherine, I'm going to refer you to Dr. Chai, see if she can shed some light on that question.
In terms of the opioid-containing products, utilization analyses are being conducted in preparation for the upcoming advisory committee Dr. Sockhorn mentioned earlier in the call. And
we can't hear you.
Sorry, let us get our the speaker. In terms of the cough products that we mentioned
utilization analyses are being conducted in preparation for the upcoming advisory committee meeting Dr. Throckmorton mentioned earlier in the call. We can provide a link to the website containing the materials containing drug utilization data, as well as the trends from the previous advisory committee meeting held in 2015. I think that link has been provided to everyone. The analyses are in there with the granular data providing the utilization trends up to that point.
Okay, Catherine. So we'll make sure we follow up with you on that link, but it is available on our website under 2015 advisory committee meetings.
Yes.
Okay.
And in general, it looks like it is trending downwards.
Okay, operator, we'll take the next question. Thank you.
Our next question is from Kate Sheridan with Stat News. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. I was hoping you could kind of give a bit more expansion, a bit more of a sense about what actions you're considering taking for OTC codeine-containing products.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? I didn't hear all of this there.
I'm wondering if you can expand a bit on what actions you're considering taking for OTC codeine-containing products. Are there specific actions that are on the table?
Yeah, no, Kate. I don't think we've taken anything off the table as far as what we do. As you know, the regulation of over-the-counter products and prescription products is slightly different. And so today's action is focused on the prescription products. We're in the process of reviewing, you know, what needs to be done in the over-the-counter area. And as soon as we have made a decision, obviously we announce anything that we could.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Kate, operator, we'll take the next question.
Our next question comes from Joette Giovinco with WTVT. Your line is open.
Thank you. I just wanted to know, if someone is a rapid metabolizer, what types of symptoms might they manifest if they're taking the drug? Is there ever agitation? Is it always sleepiness? And I know that you mentioned respiratory depression. And also, if someone is a rapid metabolizer of tramadol, does that automatically suggest that they will be a rapid metabolizer of codeine?
I'm going to ask Dr. Rakusin to answer both of those questions.
So the symptomatology being an ultra-rapid metabolizer results in higher levels of the opioid metabolite in the bloodstream more quickly than for someone who has the normal metabolism. And so the symptoms are going to be the same as that which is associated with any kind of opioid overdose. So that is sleepiness, that is respiratory depression, difficulty breathing. And I'm going to ask you to repeat that second question.
If you're at risk because of tramadol or
yes, okay. So again, this is related to the cytochrome P450 2D6 enzyme in the liver. And so for any drug that is broken down by that particular enzyme, so both tramadol and codeine are if you're an ultra rapid metabolizer of CYP2D6, cytochrome P450 2D6, you will have the same issue with tramadol and codeine. And that's partly, originally we had been working on codeine, and as we looked more into all of the, what other opioids might have this concern, tramadol, it became clear that because the tramadol parent molecule has very little activity at the opioid receptor, but the primary metabolite has a very substantial activity at the opioid receptor, that we needed to look at tramadol as well, and that's how that got included in this action.
Can I ask one more question? As a clinician,
if you could follow up with us afterwards, we're trying to limit to just one question, one follow-up question, but feel free to email me, Sarah Puttacord. My name's on the statement.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Operator, we'll take the next question.
Thank you. And again, as a reminder, you can press star 1 on your phone and record your name if you have a question. Our next question is from Teresa Carr with Consumer Reports. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for this today. So I'm wondering, your recommendations target specific groups that are likely to be at highest risk. So, children under 12, children 12 to adolescents 12 to 18 who are overweight. Is there anything we can say to parents about these drugs for children who might not be in those high-risk categories, but you they might still be concerned about these drugs when they, you know, if we were to write about this, this safety advisory.
So just to remind, this is all children under the age of 12, so we didn't identify any children in that population where we didn't feel like this was a concern enough to contraindicate their use. Between 12 and 18, there was a group of that you identified that we thought were at increased risk that also merited that same warning. Are there children outside of that group that should also be concerned? I guess I'd say these are powerful medicines. Opioids as a class are things that we would hope would be used with care in all people. Speaking personally, I would hope that would happen after a conversation with their healthcare provider. Yes, there are concerns. This is one concern that we are trying to address today. There are other concerns about the uses of opioids. There are powerful, effective medicines when used right. They can have, cause a lot of harm when they're not.
Okay, so I'm just wondering for, like I said, I understand it's for, contraindicated for children under 12, and then you listed a couple of other specific groups for adolescents and children undergoing tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy. So is the advice is then for children that are outside of those groups to be used with caution?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Operator, we'll take the next question.
Thank you. We are showing no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the conference back to Sarah Pettigord.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everybody. This concludes today's media briefing. A replay will be available in about an hour and will be available for 30 days. Please remember to check the website for the statement, the drug safety communication, which provides more about the data used to support today's action, and the consumer update. Thank you for your participation.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you again for participating. You may disconnect at this time.